is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think.
Chapter 42, The Buried Truth. Xiang Qinghua was 100% correct. Mo Beijin does not like it. However, the man can't just get up and walk away or anything. He can't just teleport off to check again if his shitty father is dead yet. Xiang Qinghua implemented a very cunning plan before he brought up this bad news about his nephew and his fellow transmigrator's new mission. He shuffled along their shared seat and then sat himself down on Mo Beijun's lap, sideways, so he can look up at Mo Beijun and let his bad legs sprawl out to the side at the same time. Ha! The man is well and truly trapped now. There's no escape. Mo Beijun has one arm wrapped around Xiang Qinghua's back, and the man glowers at him over this perfect trap. He can't just shove Xiang Qinghua off or anything, in part because Xiang Qinghua is clinging to the front of Mo Beijun's robes, too. "I knew you wouldn't like it, my king," Xiang Qinghua says again. But, we'll all probably like Tian Langchun starting a war between the human and demon realms even less. This isn't a problem that's just going to go away without doing anything. Also, if your shitty father kicks the bucket, he'll come to you, and if he sees me, then, well, I'm kind of fucked. He saw me and Bingha together at the Immortal Alliance conference, and he'll probably have questions. Mo Beijun's grip tightens slightly, briefly. Haha, yeah, Xiang Qinghua agrees. Not good. So, it looks like the only thing to do is go crack Huanhua Palace open and see what comes out.
They tried to kill you.
Only some of them. I don't intend on going near those ones again.
No.
But I need to find out if Duan Tianyu or Yu Qiaonan are alive, then meet with them and find out if they have any ideas on what the fuck the palace master is doing. I'll pretty much be asking, hey, can you betray your sect for me, pretty please? But they do kind of owe me, and they probably don't want to die at the hands of the returned demon emperor, so I think it's worth at least asking them about it.
And if they betray you?
Hopefully it won't come to that, my king. Xiang Qinghua winces at the idea of losing a popularity contest with his not-disciples between himself and the palace master. Just the thought of that insult is a little bit excruciating. If not, well, maybe they'll still be useful for breaking in anyway. Xiang Qinghua doesn't want to have to pick between people like this. He doesn't want to have to force things. It's one thing to have clear favorites. Who doesn't have their favorites? But just thinking about being forced to pick and choose really fucking sucks.
Whatever is found in that place, are you certain that Tian Langjun can be satisfied?
Mo Beijun says next. Which is a good point. Shit. Xiang Qinghua thinks about this inconvenient and terrifying good point. No, he admits. He doesn't really know Tian Langjun. Xiang Qinghua can guess at the way this man's mind works, but he can't really know for sure. Not in this world that's gone so far beyond the story he wrote. Maybe Tian Langjun really is giving the humans he used to love a chance to redeem themselves. But maybe Tian Langjun is just playing with his food before he eats it. Who knows? Not airplane shooting towards the sky. Xiang Qinghua could just stay here and not deal with that. He could ditch the sect. The odds of Tian Langjun ever personally swinging up this far north aren't that high, really. So holding up here like a coward is an option. Once upon a time, Zhang Qinghua walked around and worked hard and easily ignored the fact that Tiangchang Mountain sect was destined to go up in flames. Day in and day out, he blocked the fact that most, if not all, of his disciples were going to die. He looked Yue Qingyuan, Liu Qingge, and Shen fucking Qingqiu in the eye on a regular basis and thought against his will, I know exactly how you're going to die. I wrote your brutal and painful death in another life. And honestly, I'm probably just going to let it happen. Sorry, bro. It's not personal. Somewhere along the line, mentally drop-kicking his conscience off the mountain got a lot more difficult than it used to be. Probably when his conscience started looking and sounding a lot like Luo Jiahui. I don't... Zhang Qinghua clears his throat and admits, you know, I thought I would just leave my sect behind one day. Mo Bei Jun doesn't say anything, but he's listening, as he always is. I really don't have a problem leaving places behind when I know that I'm not wanted, Zhang Qinghua continues. When I was a disciple, I thought, fuck them. They want my loyalty. They should show some more loyalty to me. But that was, I can't just bring everyone I give a shit about here, can I? Well, this is a palace, so maybe, but it's not that easy, is it? Let's pretend for a second here that Binghe and Jiahui would agree to leave, or whatever, in a million fucking years, forgive me if I made them leave, right? If I take Jiahui and Jiahui's baby and Fun Li, then I need to take Qingge too. And then his sister and his parents, at least. Jiahui would be so upset if we leave the in-laws behind. And then there's my personal disciples, too. They're just kids. Most of them aren't kids anymore. They're all grown up. But I've known them since they were kids, so they're always kind of going to be kids. And they're little shits half the time, yeah, but they don't deserve to die because some asshole they've never met started shit with a demon emperor. And then there's some other people, too, who would also absolutely never come away, even if I went on my knees and begged for them to abandon the sinking ship. It's a nice-ish fantasy, but it's really just not feasible, my king.
No,
Mo Bei Jun agrees. There's just too many people now who won't leave the sect because they don't want to see it go up in flames, and I don't want to see it go up in flames either. Like, fuck you. Fuck you. I put years of my life into keeping that place running. Sleepless nights until the numbers were swimming in front of my eyes. I don't want all that hard work to be for nothing. We just finished renovations on Zweixian Peak, and I got Wei Shixiang his shitty fancy ore, so he better fill that order with it. Oh, shit. What did Lin Wenjiao do about all those special binding cables Xian Xu was making? Did they get shipped? Fuck, we haven't been paid for them yet.
Qinghua.
Right, not the point, my king. The point is that I organized how many stupid fucking discussion conferences down to the food and the seating and the guest rooms, and these assholes don't have the gratefulness or decency to agree on one thing, that we can't fight Tian Langjun, especially if he unites the demon realm against us, and Changchong Mountain Sect might burn just because, really, these two guys are kind of really just being such spectacular assholes over a woman. That's my home. I built half of it, or rebuilt half of it. I kept large chunks of it from falling in on themselves, so that counts, right? It was hard work. I don't want to see it destroyed. And people I care about will stand in front of it and say shit like, over my dead body. And Tian Langjun will say, that's fine. It's not fine.
Qinghua,
Mo Bei Jun repeats, his grip tightening again in warning.
Shut up.
Zhang Qinghua heaves in a breath so big and sudden that it hurts him on the way down. His fingers ache a little as he forcibly loosens the death grip he had on the front of Mo Beijun's robes. Ah, that tingles in a bad way. Mo Beijun loosens his grip, then reaches up with his free hand, the hand that was resting on Zhang Qinghua's thighs, and holds that hand.
If your knowledge points to Huanhua Palace, then I will help you search it,
Mo Beijun says.
If I will not go to war on my father's behalf, then I will not do so on behalf of Tian Longjun. I will take you to meet with these disciples.
Oh, thank you, my king. Mo Beijun nods and threads their fingers together, which is nice. Zhang Qinghua leans his head against Mo Beijun's shoulder. The man's lips brush his forehead. Some of the tension of, oh shit, how am I going to convince my family to abandon ship and move to the demon realm, disappears again. For now. His family would be so disappointed in him. Jia Hui and Bing He especially. Once upon a time, he might have said, well, bro, it's not my fault you expected me to be more than I really am. Now he can't even think that without wincing. He did kind of give them expectations. He wants to live up to them. I don't want my nephew or my sister or her coming baby to have to live in a broken world like this, Zhang Qinghua says. His voice sounds too small to belong to him. I don't want to be like your shitty father, or Bingha's shitty father.
No.
I just want this shit to stop. Shit, I'll gut the palace master myself if I have to stop this. That's fine, but I'm really tired, my king.
Then rest,
Mo Beijun tells him.
I will help your nephew again.
Zhang Qinghua sighs and rearranges his bad leg into a more comfortable position so he can keep leaning against Mo Beijun's shoulder. He can't really describe the relief he feels at hearing that. He really believes that when Mo Beijun says it, which is so weird that it doesn't seem real. The man doesn't say what he doesn't mean, even if it takes a couple of tries. You're a good uncle-in-law to my nephew, my king, Zhang Qinghua says, kind of joking, but not really. Ah, a better uncle than I'm being right now, at least. Mo Beijun's grip tightens again. Zhang Qinghua can't see the man's expression from this angle, but he can feel Mo Beijun swallow. Before his grip consciously loosens, and his thumb strokes the side of their interlaced hands.
No. The man says, I am not better.
Picking someone out of the abyss is hard to beat, though. Mo Beijun shakes his head slightly, and Zhang Qinghua can feel it against the crown of his head.
It is different,
he says, certain, without further explanation. And Zhang Qinghua doesn't really feel too much like arguing with him. Ah, well. If you say so, my king. Zhang Qinghua outlines his current plan to have a plan, and also his knowledge of Huanhua Palace Sect internal layout and security, gathered from several visits over the years for cultivation conferences and trade negotiation bullshit over the years. It's not much, but it's somewhere to start. He's still talking when there's a request to enter. Zhang Qinghua doesn't think twice over calling for them to come in, immediately going back to explaining the rumors he's heard about the extensive Huanhua Palace dungeons. His nephew, his fellow transmigrator, and his head disciple walk into the room. Almost at once, all three of them make expressions like they just walked into a bar. Not the drinking establishment version, the hitting kind. It takes Zhang Qinghua a few seconds to realize why. Oh, shit, he says. He tries to squirm off Mo Beijun's lap, but the man still has one arm around his back and another on top of his thighs, and they are not moving. Shit! This cunning plan backfired on him. Now Shang Qinghua is the one who is trapped in an outrageous public display of affection. He looks up at Mo Beijun pleadingly. Mo Beijun's expression is totally unmerciful. Asshole. Shang Qinghua should have known he'd seek revenge. Luo Binghe is the first to recover, probably because he's used to his mother and her husband being ridiculously but adorably affectionate at times. Saying, almost teasingly, "Uncle, should we come back?" What a brat! Peng Heng Peng recovers only a second after, lifting his foot like he's more than happy to flee the room with a wave of his teacher's hand. Shang Qinghua prefers not to think too much about the things that his head disciple have seen here in the White Sea Palace, which is an opinion that Peng Heng Peng and Xiao Jing apparently share wholeheartedly. The outlier is Shang Qinghua's fellow transmigrator, who this author knows for a fucking fact has read 1,000 things 100 times filthier than what he's walked in on here. So what's up with that fish face? Sure, so maybe Shang Qinghua didn't really explicitly tell Peerless Cucumber that he was fucking Mo Beijun, but only because he didn't really want to deal with any judgment. Also, Shen Yuan has heard Shang Qinghua admit that Mo Beijun is his favorite character at length. So shouldn't this reader have been able to figure it out on his own? Read between the lines, bro. Execute some critical thinking. Or at least notice the cloaks Mo Beijun leaves around the leisure house.
You, Shen Yuan starts, his tone already accusing.
Me, Shang Qinghua says, deciding to let himself enjoy this outraged shock. He deserves it. Why, yes, he is sitting in the lap of his ideal man and favorite character. He deserves that too, he thinks.
I thought, Shen Yuan continues.
What? Shang Qinghua asks. Shang Qinghua just has time to notice his nephew's smile slip and Peng Heng Peng's eyes widen at his shuddy's fearless misunderstanding before Shen Yuan says,
"You and Shen Qingqiu?"
This is where Shang Qinghua's eyes widen because, what the fuck? He chokes on his own tongue trying to say exactly that. Him and Shen Qingqiu? Where did his fellow transmigrator even get such a ridiculous idea? And why do Binghe and Spots have expressions like they knew about this absurd impression? Sure, Shen Qingqiu is stepping away from the Shen Qingqiu part for a second. Very handsome, but stepping back, he's terrifying. He's so scary. And he doesn't even like Shang Qinghua like that. And Shang Qinghua is already too deeply involved in his and Yue Qingyuan's bullshit. And fucking Shen fucking Qingqiu would definitely make it worse. Bro, Shang Qinghua says, aghast. Do I look like I have a death wish? Shen Yuan just keeps staring.
No, Shifu, Peng Heng Peng says loyally.
Binghe, meanwhile, has his lips pressed together in exactly the same way Jia Hui does when she's trying not to laugh. Oh, such a brat! Such a bratty nephew! Shen Yuan is still staring at him like he's the one who brought up the horrifying concept of Shang Qinghua being involved with Shen Qingqiu. Like, Shang Qinghua is the one between them who has committed some kind of egregious and or mildly annoying betrayal here deserving of a bro, what the fuck face.
Shen Qingqiu?
Shang Qinghua repeats disbelievingly, tugging on Mo Beijun's hand where it's kind of clawing into his thigh right now. The grip reluctantly loosens.
No! No way! Never happened!
Bingha actually snorts this time.
Of course not, Shifu, Peng Hongpeng agrees, reaching out and putting a hand on Qin Yuan's shoulder.
Please excuse me. I suddenly remembered that I need to help Xiao Shiqie pack for her return to Changchang Mountain. Shun Shidi, you should come help. Excuse us, Shifu.
And Disciple Spots drags Peerless Cucumber from the room. After Shang Qinghua explained his relationship to Mo Beijun to his head disciple, Peng Hongpeng's reaction to Shang Qinghua's relationship with a demon lord was ultimately underwhelming. Probably because Peng Hongpeng had all of the time Shang Qinghua was unconscious to become used to the idea. Also, probably because Shang Qinghua didn't give his head disciple any of the really juicy details, like how he nearly killed Mo Beijun, how Mo Beijun treated him like shit for years, and how they're only together now because Shang Qinghua had a couple of breakdowns and Mo Beijun had to learn how to use his words. No, that's not information for innocent young disciples. Or any disciples. Shang Qinghua pretty much just said that he and Mo Beijun met when he was a disciple.
Peng Hongpeng's reaction was to say, one, making peace with demons is probably overall a lot cheaper and more efficient than going to war with them, Shifu. And an alliance between Changchong Mountain Sect and the future Northern Demon King could be very beneficial. And two, I'm happy you're happy, Shifu.
And Spots just kept repeating these sentiments like he was clinging to them for dear life. The only other thing Shang Qinghua got out of him was, Shifu, I can't believe you hid this for this long. Congratulations. While his expression said, please, please don't make me have an opinion on this, Shifu. My opinion is whatever doesn't get my head ripped off. Which seems fair enough. Oh, Shang Qinghua is absolutely certain that Peng Hongpeng knew about this one. Shang Qinghua doesn't know what to do but stare after his apparently delusional disciples. Bingha laughs, unable to contain himself any longer.
Did you know about this bullshit?
Shang Qinghua demands. But that just makes his terrible and wicked nephew laugh even harder. He would totally jump up to thwack the disrespectful and ungrateful boy on the top of the head for this. How dare he keep this kind of gossip from his hardworking and doting uncle? But Mo Beijun doesn't let him.
Shun Qingqiu?
Shang Qinghua mutters, horrified.
Shun Qingqiu?
It seemed like a good cover for your relationship, uncle, Bingha says, defending himself again for not correcting people.
Apparently, his nephew heard the rumors and considered them, but then mostly discarded them, and then discarded them completely after he found out about Mo Beijun.
Why didn't you tell me?
People have been talking about this for years, uncle. I thought you knew, his nephew says, with totally transparent innocence.
Shang Qinghua can tell that Bingha knows he didn't know. The little fucker is enjoying this. What a demon.
Can we focus? Shun Yuan snaps.
Please? Peng Hongpeng says hoarsely.
Mo Beijun has taken them to the infamous Huanhua Palace. To a place on a mountain distantly overlooking Huanhua Palace. Peng Hongpeng is about to deliver a message to one of Duan Tianyu's students. Then from there, hopefully deliver a message and or speak personally to one of Shang Qinghua's not-disciples. And then from there, they can organize a break-in or something. Their plan to have a plan is in progress. Huanhua Palace is a sprawling monstrosity. To be fair, Changchong Mountain Sect is also a sprawling monstrosity, taking up a huge chunk of their mountain range. 12 peaks, thousands of cultivators. But Shang Ching Hua likes to think they're a little less ostentatious about it. Huanhua Palace Sect makes its home in an enormous verdant valley, and the palace is a full-on forbidden city. From the outside, it looks more like the palace that ate 100 other palaces. This sect is a town unto itself. That's a lot of people who are going to die if Tianlangjun raises it. It's also the sect of at least 100 gardens. Some trees even poke over the edges of the walls. When staying there for a cultivation conference, Shang Cheng Hua vaguely remembers having a heated argument with some old master specializing in fungal flora over the cultivation of mushrooms, important in medicine and as a food source, in the evening lotus pond garden, as opposed to the night lotus pond garden or the day lotus pond garden, obviously. If they're talking about times when a Huanhua Palace sect cultivator nearly killed Shang Cheng Hua, they should count that incident. Holy shit. He was just trying to get a reasonable discount. No reason to take that much offense, bro. The sprawling, gleaming, towering buildings of Huanhua Palace sect are surrounded by wide stretches of farmland, used by the sect for various agricultural endeavors. And usually the gates in the sect's high walls are wide open. Usually there are long trains of carts and carriages, messengers on both foot and horseback, cultivators on sword or horseback, moving constantly between this great cultivation sect and the large city at the other end of the valley. Today, the intimidating gates in those high walls are all firmly shut. There are still carts moving along the road, but far fewer, and a line of them have gotten stuck outside the sect to be inspected by the cultivators acting as guards. The carts are redirected away to some of the exterior buildings, or sometimes just sent on their way. Huanhua Palace sect isn't accepting any visitors today. With a spyglass in hand, a tool handed over by his nephew, included in the pouch that Shen Yuan gave him for the conference, Shang Cheng Hua can see armed patrols moving along the high walls. He can see ready weaponry along the fortified towers. Sure about this, Spots? Shang Cheng Hua asks. Not really, Shifu, Peng Hung Peng answers, but he goes off anyway. He hops on his sword and skates between the trees, off to a better place to take off towards Huanhua Palace down below, so as not to give away their hiding place. Very heroic. Shang Cheng Hua would dress up in plain clothes and go himself, but, the fucked up leg for one thing, and the fact that Mo Bei Jun would never agree to that for another thing. And, well, Shang Cheng Hua's face may be more well-known these days than he ever thought it would be. He's not feeling confident about how much space the, oh, I look like Peak Lord Shang Cheng Hua? Haha, I get that a lot. I'm way better looking though, right? Act would buy him. Shen Yuan can't go. They have no idea who might know his face. Bing He absolutely can't fucking go. He has a heavenly demon mark on his forehead. And, unlike the tricky protagonist of Proud Immortal Demon Wei, always playing the pig to eat the tiger, he still doesn't have the hang of hiding it yet. Also, Huanhua Palace sect now knows that Su Xian's son survived. Xiao Jing isn't here, having respectfully asked not to be included in this kind of thing, which was fair enough. She told Peng Hung Peng that he better not die in this endeavor, though, which is pretty much the same thing as wishing a person luck among many cultivators. Shang Cheng Hua has decided to take that as them having her, and by extension Mu Qingfang's, blessing on this one. Shang Cheng Hua realized then, during these goodbyes, that these two disciples were probably an item, and decided not to mention that he did not fucking know that his head disciple had a girlfriend. Wow, Spots really kept this one quiet, huh? The gossip chain of Changchang Mountain sect is brutal, so that's a smart move. Shang Cheng Hua owes his life to his head disciple's girlfriend, huh? This is an interesting situation to be in. That kind of makes him obligated to give them his blessing. Zhang Qinghua sighs and leans back against the tree he's sitting against, then leans sideways against Mo Beijun, straightening the man's sleeve. His king looks very handsome today, very dangerous. He's dressed all in black, in the sexy, in Zhang Qinghua's expert opinion, robes and armor he was supposed to wear to the Immortal Alliance conference before his shitty father stepped in. And lying on the grass beside him is a cracked silver spear, the dark crystal of its head gleaming ominously, frosting the ground where it touches. Zhang Qinghua took one look at the weapon Mo Beijun had taken from his shitty father and asked, "Is that safe to bring, my king?" And Mo Beijun said,
"Yes."
And Zhang Qinghua supposes that Mo Beijun knows best. He noticed, however, that Bing He is very carefully not looking at it. Shit. Mo Beijun catches his hand and interlaces their fingers again. Zhang Qinghua squeezes his hand in response. He knows that Mo Beijun really, really does not want to be here. His king has a past with Huanhua Palace sect. They kind of met because of Huanhua Palace sect, when Zhang Qinghua thinks about it. Maybe he'll send the palace master a thank you note for inadvertently introducing them, sometime before he knifes the old asshole in the side as payback, and finally lets his nephew behead the man, because Bing He deserves a little spoiling like that. Or maybe after. Either is good. Nothing to do but wait now. Again with the waiting. Shun Qing Chu, Zhang Qinghua repeats under his breath after a little while. He is definitely going to be making Peerless Cucumber, who is still refusing to look at him. He's refusing to look at Zhang Qinghua right now, in fact, and may possibly never willingly look at him again. Explain the evidence behind that assumption later. Ah, shit. This also explains some things. Fuck. If Shun Qingchu knows about this, he doesn't know what he'll do. Peng Hongpeng returns, accompanied by two figures, one of whom is Duan Tianyu, and the other of whom Zhang Qinghua squints real fucking hard at before he realizes that the young man is just one of his not-disciple students. What was the young man's name again? Gongyi Xiao. That's right. Seriously, though, system bro, Zhang Qinghua thinks, to his shitty, no-good transmigration system that is definitely not listening and has never, ever given a shit about any of his threats. If this kid turns out to be another heavenly demon in disguise, we're going to have another fucking problem. How many of those are we at now, anyway? Have we reached 1,000 yet? He actually remembers Gongyi Xiao's character, at least, vaguely. And so does Peerless Cucumber. So it's probably fine. It's fine! Mo Beijun and Bing He have taken themselves out of sight for the moment, which neither of them are happy about. But they both understand that these cultivators may not yet be ready for helping demons break into their own sect. If Zhang Qinghua decides to tell these cultivators that truth, it seems better to ease them into it than try and dump those frogs in boiling water straight away. Young Gongyi Xiao is supporting Duan Tianyu, who looks abnormally pale. As they walk up to meet Zhang Qinghua and Shen Yuan, as they get closer, Zhang Qinghua realizes that, the Huanhua Palace sect cultivator's right sleeve is empty. Duan Tianyu's right sleeve has been folded and pinned closed. Master Zhang, you're alive, Duan Tianyu says when he reaches them. His expression has a little bit of disbelief and a lot of open relief. Yes. Rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated. Now, please sit. You look like shit. Who let you out of bed? Zhang Qinghua leads by example, waving off both Shen Yuan and Peng Hengpeng reaching to help him. Duan Tianyu laughs hoarsely as Gong Yi Xiao helps him sit down on the grass as well. He really does look too pale, but he pats his disciple reassuringly. Zhang Qinghua is on a decent amount of painkillers right now, and he's still not totally comfortable, but Duan Tianyu must be on even more of them. Gong Yi Xiao doesn't seem to have escaped injury himself. One of the young man's hands is wrapped in bandages which disappear up his sleeve, even going so far as to peek over the very edges of his collar at his neck. He bows deeply in greeting, anxiously, and drops instantly when Zhang Qinghua waves at him to sit.
I'm glad you're alive, Zhang Qinghua says.
And he means it. He really does. There was a very real chance here that Peng Hengpeng was going to try to deliver a message, only to be told that Zhang Qinghua's not disciples were dead, and so were all of their students. Zhang Qinghua clears his throat.
How is...
Yu Qiaonan is alive, Duan Tianyu says, and well enough. One of my disciples, Gu Zhan, passed. Another, Qin Wan Yue, was gravely injured.
I'm sorry to hear that.
The others have some injuries, but they're alive. Duan Tianyu reaches out to clap a hand on Gong Yi Xiao's shoulder. My best student led them well. Gong Yi Xiao tries to look appreciative of the praise, but the kid really just looks miserable.
And the...
Duan Tianyu actually smiles and says, it was only a scratch.
Ah, Zhang Qinghua says. Bro, your fucking arm is gone, he thinks.
Gong Yi Xiao's miserable expression turns physically pained, which almost immediately began to fester such that amputation was required. Duan Tianyu continues, now that he's had his fun. He's still smiling, though, more pleased with himself for his little joke than hung up over the loss, apparently.
I didn't know it was going to be that bad, Zhang Qinghua says.
Duan Tianyu's eyes flick over Zhang Qinghua's fucked up leg and says,
I believe you, Master Zhang,
he says. More wryly, he adds, I don't believe you would have been there if you'd known that.
That's... true.
This is where Duan Tianyu's tone turns serious again.
Master Zhang, there are a great many things being said about you.
Duan Tianyu trails off and then just says, there are a great many things being said about you, Master Zhang.
Not complimentary, huh?
No.
Well, it's just a reputation.
Master Zhang, please, in particular, there are a great many things being said about the things that you knew or did not know. It's being said that your nephew, the disciple called Luo Binghe, is a heavenly demon. Is that true?
Yes.
Duan Tianyu doesn't react at first. Gong Yi Zhao's eyes widen slightly, like he wasn't expecting Zhang Qinghua to flat out admit it. It seems, however, that Duan Tianyu is too fucking tired to care today, because the man, who is no longer as young a man as he once was, reaches up and drags his hand down his face. He huffs, unable to really laugh.
All I remember is a small boy clinging to his mother's skirts.
Ah, well, that's what he was, Zhang Qinghua answers. He was that, too.
And he's... Is he really Su Xian's son?
Yes. Zhang Qinghua makes the decision to call Binghe back out here to meet them. Duan Tianyu stares at the young protagonist like he's seeing a ghost. Though maybe that's just the way it looks because he's still super pale and should not be partaking in clandestine traitorous spy meetings like this. No one speaks as Luo Binghe comes and kneels on Zhang Qinghua's other side.
You look like her, Duan Tianyu says finally.
You knew her? Binghe asks.
Not well. I was too young. She visited our classes sometimes, but everyone knew her, Duan Tianyu replies. And Gong Yixiao reaches out to steady his teacher, probably because it really looks like the man might faint. We all loved her talisman lectures. We used to sneak off to watch some of her training matches with the other masters. We all thought that she was going to be the next master of Huanhua Palace. Instead, your sect leader was the one who imprisoned her and framed Tian Langjun for it, Binghe tells him, unsympathetic. He's the one who killed her, too. Ah, now it looks like Gong Yixiao might faint. That's what we've been hearing, Duan Tianyu says. He looks to Shang Qinghua. The Demon Emperor's message seemed to have slipped out of the sides of all the mouths that were meant to be holding it in. Master Shang, if you hadn't been involved, I think I would have believed the people saying he's just trying to stir up trouble, but instead I haven't known what to think. Is it really true? It's true, Binghe says. Tian Longjun still might destroy the sect, however, Shen Yuan adds. Shang Qinghua doesn't need them to talk for him, thanks. They should follow Peng Hung Peng's good example here of not saying anything. Although, that could be because Peng Hung Peng is busy nervously looking around for either Mo Bei Jun to stop lurking and suddenly rejoin them, or an ambush of Huanhua Palace sect cultivators. It's true, Shang Qinghua repeats. Tian Langjun is telling the truth. I see why he's mad then, Duan Tianyu says faintly. According to Duan Tianyu and Gong Yixiao, in the palace master's absence, as well as the absence of half his inner circle and all of his personal guards and many senior cultivators, due to the emergency discussion conference at Changchang Mountain, the cultivator currently in charge of Huanhua Palace sect is Wu Yifei. Shang Qinghua can't believe things have come to the point where he actually recognizes that as cultivator overcompensating belt buckle's name. Shang Qinghua also can't believe that fucker isn't dead. Injured, Master Shang, but not too severely, Duan Tianyu says, sounding especially thrilled about that. His shoulder and some fingers, I believe. Also, according to Duan Tianyu and Gong Yixiao, the opinion that Tian Langjun is a liar who has returned to divide and destroy the sects is a strong one in Huanhua Palace sect. It's the overwhelmingly a popular opinion here. Tian Langjun is their longtime villain, after all. Everyone is either, one, very, very scared he's back, or two, scared he's back, but pretending they're above fear. Don't be so cocky. Yue Qingyuan isn't guaranteed to fight this battle for you this time, bro, Shang Qinghua thinks, only a little bitterly. Even if he's willing to fight again, Shen Qingqiu won't be so willing to let him. Huanhua Palace sect is apparently essentially under lockdown right now. Gong Yixiao met with Peng Hong Peng outside the gates, then turned around and helped Duan Tianyu sneak out through a secret passageway in one of the gardens. Every single member of Huanhua Palace sect has been recalled from the field, and every single person has had to undergo a thorough series of "Are you a demon in disguise?" tests. They couldn't do that before the conference, Shang Qinghua complains. Duan Tianyu laughs, but it sounds bitter this time. He explains to them that the disciple Tian Langjun was pretending to be was the personal disciple of Master Ren Huaizhe, who submitted Chui Liu to the Immortal Alliance Conference, and who was themselves a former personal disciple of the palace master himself. Huanhua Palace sect's investigations have uncovered that Master Ren was also a demon in disguise. This was uncovered when, during the Immortal Alliance conference, Master Ren apparently burst out of their skin and revealed a giant fucking snake demon before slithering off into the chaos. So now they're pretty sure the original Master Run is super dead. Probably for some time. They have no idea if there was ever an original disciple Chui Liu. Master Run was apparently one of those traveling types who was frequently away on diplomacy-type missions for the palace master. So Tian Longjun was never actually inside Huanhua Palace? Xun Yuan asks. It appears so, Duan Tianyu answers. There's been an extensive search of the palace anyway, Gong Yixiao adds. It's still ongoing. The testing and patrols must interrupt it, Peng Hengpeng murmurs. Shang Chenghua imagines that's kind of like being told that your house maybe had a swarm of cockroaches crawl over every surface when you were out. Really, the only thing to do is deep clean the house or burn it to the ground and start over. Shang Chenghua also supposes that Tian Longjun really didn't want to go to Huanhua Palace itself after getting trapped by their seals the first time. Huanhua Palace is a maze even before a person goes looking for any basements. Plenty of people go into the dungeons and then just don't come out.
Tian Longjun is clearly happy to sit back and let the sects tear the palace apart. Thanks. Or maybe he just wants Huanhua Palace sect to sweat a little first. Maybe he just wants them to know he's coming. When Shang Chenghua explains the help they need, and that they have reason to believe that the proof they need to make Tian Longjun back off is inside Huanhua Palace, Duan Tianyu and Gong Yixiao don't look surprised. Not even a little. Tian Longjun has asked to see Su Xian, Duan Tianyu says. Demanded, yes, Shang Chenghua agrees. And Master Shang is now asking for our help breaking into the dungeons of our sect, specifically the places only our palace master and his inner circle are allowed to enter, Duan Tianyu continues, his gaze steady and yet searching. Master Shang, what exactly do you think you'll find down there? Shang Chenghua thinks how best to say this, with all these eyes on him. His nephew, his fellow transmigrator, his head disciple, his not disciple student are all looking at him. He doesn't want to outright say it, though. Not yet. I think that whatever is down there is something that I don't want to find, Shang Chenghua says finally. And that you don't really want me to find, either. But, something that really needs to be found before the Demon Emperor, who wasn't buried deep enough, decides to dig up the rest of the truth for himself. Duan Tianyu looks even more tired than Shang Chenghua feels. He's already outright admitted that he's terrified of what war will mean for his students and his martial siblings. Shang Chenghua feels kind of bad for the man as he looks down at the grass, before his stare travels down to the folded and pinned sleeve at his side. And then, as he closes his eyes and sighs silently, Gong Yixiao reaches out again to steady his teacher, just in case. But Duan Tianyu leans away from the support, patting his student's arm. When Duan Tianyu opens his eyes again, his stare is both defeated and determined. I want my sect to survive, but that's not as important as the people. Gong Yixiao says. Duan Tianyu cuts him off with a look. Sometimes the best thing for a garden is to tear everything out by the roots and start over, he says. I want my students and my martial siblings to get out of here alive. Whatever rot is hidden in our house, Master Shang, get it out. Duan Tianyu and Gong Yixiao know exactly where to find the entrances to Huanhua Palace's forbidden areas. Gong Yixiao might have become one of the palace master's personal disciples due to his former friendship with the little palace mistress, before he ended up under Duan Tianyu's wing instead. So he's even delivered messages between members of the palace master's inner circle.
Gong Yi Xiao seems very confident he'll be able to sneak Peng Hung Peng inside. Once Peng Hung Peng is inside, he can summon the rest of them. Getting into Huanhua Palace sect has never really been the problem here. If Xiang Qinghua's leg wasn't fucked up and he had a little time to repair everything he might possibly need, he could do it himself. He's been inside there before. He knows how to break into places. He could find a way. The problem is having a teleportation destination that won't be, one, full of Huanhua Palace sect cultivators armed to the teeth and ready to lash out at anything remotely demon-like that pops into view, and, two, is anywhere near where they need to go. It's safer for Mo Baijun to have a target. Xiang Qinghua doesn't really explain the Mo Baijun part. Unfortunately, Mo Baijun's shitty father isn't dead yet, so if anyone asks how they teleported in, it was definitely a super special talisman that they used, and not a sexy shadow-stepping ice demon doing Xiang Qinghua a favor. It becomes clear just a little way into this conversation that Duan Tianyu and Gong Yi Xiao expect this break-in to be happening now. Oh, like, now? Xiang Qinghua says. Were you not planning to do this as soon as possible? Duan Tianyu says. Well, we could do it now, Xin Yuan suggests. We should, Bing He says. It's true that there is a little bit of a rush here. How much of one, honestly, ultimately depending on how Tian Longjun is feeling today, wherever the fuck that young-faced bastard is now. However, Xiang Qinghua reminds his apparently bloodthirsty nephew and fellow transmigrator not to be too hasty here. Except then Duan Tianyu and Gong Yi Xiao exchange a concerned look. What about Lady Dawn? Gong Yi Xiao asks his teacher. Who? Xiang Qinghua asks. Gong Yi Xiao explains that Lady Dawn is one of the palace master's many noble friends. Xiang Qinghua doesn't think that this kid means this emphasis in a wink-wink, nudge-nudge, if you know what I mean, bro, way. More like a, this is a friendship where both sides would sell the other out for a neat rock on a bad day, way. Lady Dawn is special because she's also one of these friends who, despite not originally being particularly wealthy by the standards of ridiculously wealthy people, or important by the standards of ridiculously self-important people, one, visits with remarkable, punctual regularity several times a year, and two, is for some reason permitted access to the areas of Huanhua Palace dungeons, forbidden to anyone but the palace master's inner circle. She is also, apparently, on her way to Huanhua Palace sect right now. Xiang Qinghua gets out the spyglass again and turns it on the road between the sprawling sect and the city at the other end of the valley. There is an extremely fancy-looking procession coming down the road. Lots of money. Very little taste. He hands the spyglass off towards his nephew and fellow transmigrator. Bing He manages to snatch it up first. Xin Yuan can't really fight the protagonist for the spyglass without potentially revealing the special observation item he has hidden up his sleeve right now, so he just stands there and frowns. She's not supposed to be visiting, Gong Yi Xiao says. Word of her impending arrival came shortly after returning from the Immortal Alliance conference, Duan Tianyu says. Many such people have wished to visit the palace as news of the conference spreads to take shelter. Ah, makes sense. Most of them have been rejected, Gong Yi Xiao informs them. Duan Tianyu nods. Lady Dawn is one of the few who hasn't been refused. So, her presence could be a very, very bad thing, potentially, Xiang Qinghua says. Or is this a good thing? Do we need to make it to the dungeons before she does and potentially covers things up? Or will the to-do of her arrival in the middle of the lockdown be a good distraction? Duan Tianyu and Gong Yi Xiao exchange another look. Both? Gong Yi Xiao suggests.
All right.
So Duan Tianyu and Gong Yixiao return to Huanhua Palace with Peng Hongpeng at their side. They're going to sneak him back through the secret garden passage they took to get out here. Apparently, Yu Qiaonan's gardener husband is waiting to let them back in, before sneaking him to the entrance of the forbidden area of the dungeons. Watching them go, Shen Yuan pulls the weeper's eye out of his sleeve. And behind them, Mo Beijun melts out of the shadows in a gust of cold air, putting a hand on Shang Qinghua's shoulder. Shang Qinghua leans into it. His head hurts. Or maybe that's his heart. Either way, it helps.
That went well, he says hopefully.
Shen Yuan nods, which is nearly as relieving as Mo Beijun's touch.
They're telling the truth, he agrees thoughtfully. They want to help us. They want their sect to be better than it is. If nothing is found, then it's true. If something is found, then at least this first step has been taken towards it.
That phrasing has the ring of the weeper's whisper. At least put that thing somewhere you can't accidentally drop it during some dramatic moment, Shang Qinghua tells his fellow transmigrator. His uncle instincts are saying it. His teacher instincts are saying it. His author instincts are saying it too. But, thanks for sharing. That's good to know. Good to know. Shen Yuan rolls his eyes, but obligingly tucks the item away safely.
They really don't know, Bingha says, still looking after where the others have disappeared. They really don't know about Su Xian or Tian Longjun, but they know that their sect leader has secrets, and they never thought to uncover them before.
Hey, Changchong Mountain Sect has secrets too, Shang Qinghua says. Not like these ones, as far as I know, but it's considered the filial thing to do not to poke your nose into your master's private business, you know?
Else the master kills you,
Mo Beijun murmurs. Yeah, that too. Duan Tianyu and Gong Yixiao don't have any kind of plot protections. For all Shang Qinghua knows, like so many others, Duan Tianyu is supposed to be dead. Whether at the House of Rejuvenation or at some other spot along the road Shang Qinghua accidentally steered them all away from. If they get caught here, these traitorous Huanhua Palace sect cultivators are kind of fucked. Their own sect, most of it, the worst parts of it, will turn on them. Last chance to opt out of this one, Shang Qinghua offers. No, Bingha says, at once, fiercely, like he's prepared to fight on this. Shen Yuan lifts his chin. No, thank you, he agrees. Peerless Cucumber is apparently going to cross this mission off his to-do list if he has to go all by himself. He basically bullied Shang Qinghua into this by getting thrown out of Changchong Mountain Sect into the Demon Realm and saying, do this mission with me or I'll get myself arrested to do it myself. So why the fuck would this transmigrator back out of this mess of his own making now? Mo Beijun says nothing, but squeezes Shang Qinghua's shoulder again. Shang Qinghua sighs. Here we go, system bro, he thinks. You win again, asshole. Fuck you, Shang Qinghua thinks. Bro, you did that just to fuck with me. Fuck you so much. The summons comes within the hour, just barely, which is super efficient and also terrifyingly quick. Oh, fuck, I'm not ready for this, Shang Qinghua thinks, as he forces himself to participate in this shitty mission anyway. Mo Beijun disappears first, alone. He returns a few minutes later, nodding his approval, and a portal opens for all of them. It's small, entrancing and unnerving in its shifting blue and black edges, and cold, all as usual. This time, however, Shang Qinghua gets swept off his feet and crutch and carried through. Hey, I can hop, kind of. Mo Beijun pretends not to hear him. The shadowy portal is an unpleasant experience as usual, but a short one. 3 long steps, swift and silent. Shang Qinghua is somewhere else entirely. Mo Beijun lets him down again in a dim hallway. It's a nice hallway, nice floors and nice walls. That's probably supposed to look warm in real lighting. However, the temperature is on the cooler side, and the only light sources are at the far end of the hallway, the steady but slightly unnatural glow of some kind of spiritual lanterns. And there are no decorations here beyond the patterns along the edges of the walls, so the hallway mostly just looks sterile. Dangerous. There's a set of doors at the dark end of the hallway. Not ridiculously large or laughably ornate, but instead so fucking ordinary they look super ominous. Peng Hongpeng is here. Duan Tianyu and Gong Yi Xiao are not. Binghe and Xun Yuan follow through the portal, with Xun Yuan letting off a full-body shiver and relieved exhale upon exiting. And then the portal that Mo Beijun opened for them just folds back into thin air, neatly sealing itself, very unlike the bleeding black gashes opened at the conference. They're inside Huanhua Palace. My king, sometimes I think you're really getting too good at breaking into cultivation sects like this, Shang Qinghua whispers. Mo Beijun hums.
I've had practice.
He sure fucking has. Somehow, Shang Qinghua manages not to smack his king for being cheeky. He has his sword back. He's under strict orders not to use it unless there's an emergency here. But he thinks exceptions can be made for expressions that smug. He's distracted, however, by Binghe stepping slightly away from them all, looking around. If Shang Qinghua knows his nephew, and he likes to think that despite everything he really does, then that's definitely a slightly disappointed expression. Like the young protagonist was expecting just a little bit more from this great sect, especially this infamously flashy great sect, than a nice enough but plain and dark hallway. For obvious reasons, Luo Binghe has never been to Huanhua Palace sect before. Changchang Mountain sect doesn't usually take junior disciples to go visit other sects, for one thing, and Shun Qingqiu is one of the peak lords on the stricter side of that rule for another. Now Binghe knows this is his birth mother's sect. Su Xian walked these halls once. It's totally possible that, as head disciple of Huanhua Palace sect, she walked this hall once. Shang Qinghua looks away. What happened to... Shifu, disciple Gong Yi had to return Master Duan to his sick room, Peng Hongpeng explains. This part of the palace is too far away from any healing walks he might be taken on. I was shown the way here by Master Pan. Who? Oh, Yu Chaonan's husband. Yes, Shifu, Peng Hongpeng agrees patiently. He then turns over a scroll that's revealed to be a simple yet precious map of the Huanhua Palace dungeons, and a seal that has the looks of a key. A brief detour was made for these items. Master Pan thought they might be of assistance, though the forbidden areas are not mapped here, and he would like to thank you again for saving his husband's life. Also, apparently, a Kuxing Peak disciple intervened at a crucial moment during the Immortal Alliance conference to save Master Yu again. Master Pan feels that he is in Changchong Mountain Sect's debt. Ah, once again, it pays to know the little people. Shang Qinghua saved this guy's husband's life 10 years ago. If he hadn't saved those Huanhua Palace Sect disciples from the House of Rejuvenation, then Yu Chaonan never would have grown up and gotten married. Now he's not just getting help from these cannon fodder characters. He's apparently getting help from the equally nameless, even more faceless extras who give a shit about them. Apparently, in this world, someone out there loves or will love the disciple in the background, who was mentioned once in Proud Immortal Demon Way and never again.
How does this fact keep on surprising Zhang Qinghua like this? Anyway, Zhang Qinghua recognizes this as one of the central buildings by the designs on the walls, which is the destination that Duan Tianyu promised them. The basement, according to Peng Hongpeng, Zhang Qinghua also isn't surprised to have confirmed, with only a glance at the map, that the dungeons sprawl out underneath most of Huanhua Palace. Not just this tower, but all the palaces and all the gardens. How far down they go is unclear. They go deep, airplane shooting towards the sky knows. He looks towards Xun Yuan and says, "Ready to play tour guide?" His fellow transmigrator has a hand over his heart. It looks like, roughly, where the Weeper's eye is currently resting underneath his robes. Xun Yuan is looking towards the door ahead with a frown. His spiritual sensing is good these days, possibly and probably better than Zhang Qinghua's own, and it takes him a few beats to tear himself away from whatever he's seeing and nod determinedly. Zhang Qinghua's fellow transmigrator and the Weeper's Eye are good to go. Zhang Qinghua's little bro really has gotten the knack of that creepy artifact, and he didn't even have to stick it in his eye socket or anything. Zhang Qinghua is very proud and so fucking glad he shut that idea down, even if it was a joke. Approaching the doors at the end of the hallway is terrifying. They're really so ordinary looking, it seems like something has to go horribly wrong. But instead, they open totally normally. Telling his disciples not to come down here is apparently protection enough for the palace master. More likely the protections are lurking somewhere in the depths revealed behind the door. The ominously ordinary door opens on a wide and even darker staircase. There are more spiritual lanterns along the walls, at least, the nearest of which flickers on for them. Somehow, it just makes the depths ahead look even darker. Fuck shit stairs, Zhang Qinghua also thinks. He glances around to gauge how creeped out everyone else is here. He finds that, while his nephew and fellow transmigrator look only grimly determined, and Mo Beijun is still entirely unimpressed, Peng Hongpeng is looking like if he takes one step down this staircase, he's sure he'll die. Zhang Qinghua's head disciple was trembling slightly when he handed over the map and the key that Yu Chaonan's husband stole for them. Peng Hongpeng is trembling now, though being an adult now, his teen years now several years behind him, he's doing a good job of not bringing attention to himself over it. "Ah, spots," Zhang Qinghua says. "Shifu," Peng Hongpeng returns, not as evenly as he's trying for. "You can go. You don't have to come. The last time I let you go off alone, Shifu, you nearly died." "Those were very different circumstances," Zhang Qinghua argues. He makes his voice more serious. "Spots, you've done your part. Go back to the sect. Let your shibos complain to you about how much they don't like me anymore. Tell Lin Wenjiao that if she let Chongding Peak put someone in the Blue Cypress guest house, then they're going to have lots of complaints about spiders unless someone finally cleaned up that problem." Peng Hongpeng huffs with amusement. "Shifu, it's fine. I just need a minute to come to terms with the fact that I really have just broken into Huanhua Palace sect, which is renowned for its martial prowess, and will kill me." "Go home," Zhang Qinghua says again. "Go with Xiao Jing and prove to her that you didn't die just like she told you not to. She'll be very impressed." Peng Hongpeng tries to put up a fight, but it's not much of one. The final straw is actually Mo Beijun just giving Zhang Qinghua's head disciple a long look before saying, "Go. You have done enough." Mo Beijun immediately using the space-tearing spear in hand to slice open a new portal just for Peng Hongpeng is also pretty final. There's no arguing with that. Zhang Qinghua tries to achieve a similar,
go through of your own free will or be thrown through, bro, expression. He's nowhere near as successful for sure. Peng Hung Peng can't hide his relief. That's desperate relief, too. This is starting to sound like a Shifu problem, not a me problem, he says. Glad you figured that out, Zhang Qinghua agrees fondly. He reaches up and pats his disciple's head for old time's sake. Good job, Spots. Now go away. Good luck, Shifu. Peng Hung Peng hesitates, but then reaches out and squeezes Zhang Qinghua's hand. We'll be waiting for you back at Chang Chang, so come back. And with that, Peng Hung Peng steps through the portal and disappears. The portal closes up neatly behind him. This leaves Zhang Qinghua with his half-demon nephew, his fellow transmigrator with the cursed artifact, and the demon lord, who is definitely going to pick him up again to go down these fucking stairs. Yeah, Mo Beijun is going to be doing a lot of carrying here, he thinks. Anyone else? Zhang Qinghua asks, to be sure. He's asked this before, but he feels they should all really be sure here. Opting out is an option. Really, with Mo Beijun's powers, they can leave any time. They can just quit if the going gets tough. No, Shen Yuan says immediately. Uncle, if you want to leave, you can, Bing He says with vicious politeness. Mo Beijun looks interested in this option. Like I'm really letting you do this without any supervision, Zhang Qinghua says hastily. The system gave this mission to Peerless Cucumber and to him. He's not going to sit behind when he can at least pick a few tricky locks, and when Mo Beijun has perfectly good, really, really amazing, arms to carry him through this apparently long overdue bullshit. All right, fine. No more wasting time. Down we all go into these horrible dungeons to find... well, we'll know it when we find it, I guess.